couple of weeks ago, I warned you that this was going to happen with Jesus' disciples. I don't know if you remember it, but I told you it was coming. Maybe you weren't here that Sunday or were distracted during the homily and didn't hear it. I know sometimes I get distracted too, even during the homily. Some of the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest among them and who would be Jesus' lieutenants on his right and his left hand in the new kingdom that Jesus was going to conquer. Whoever wants to be first, Jesus said, must be last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking that child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me alone, but the one who sent me." So today we read that people were bringing little children to Jesus so that he might touch them and bless them, the same way you see people bringing their kids close to the Pope, for instance, for a blessing, or maybe the way politicians kiss babies. But Jesus' disciples had forgotten what he had told them just a couple of chapters ago, maybe like we have, that Jesus taught them that whoever welcomes a child in Jesus' name welcomes Jesus. And even more than that, welcomes God. So you may think this morning that the Grace Children's Choir is leading our music. But according to Jesus, those kids in the back and the kids in the pews have actually brought God to us this morning. So, on behalf of all of us adults who are trying to figure out who is the greatest among us, welcome, children, and thank you for being here. Please, please continue to show us adults how to receive the kingdom of God. Now, before Jesus chastises his disciples about keeping the children away from him, some Pharisees had approached Jesus in order to test him, the scripture says. And they almost always did this kind of questioning of Jesus in public, so as to elicit the greatest response from the crowd, hopefully to embarrass Jesus. And they almost always ask Jesus a no-win question, one that no matter how he answered would make him look bad, or at least might turn the crowds against him. So today's reading in the gospel is no exception. The Pharisees ask Jesus, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Now, it's interesting that they asked this question because in their day it was lawful and they knew that. So what else is going on in this text? Jesus responds with a question of his own, which also was his usual practice. "What did Moses command you?" Jesus says to the Pharisees. Now, of course, the Pharisees are experts at knowing the law, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, also known as the books of Moses. So they refer to Deuteronomy 24, where Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal to divorce his wife. The law, which was given to Moses by God, allowed a man to divorce his wife by simply writing this certificate of divorce. But Jesus appeals to God's original intention in the creation. Jesus wants to point us beyond our current condition and the way that the world is toward God's dream for us and each other, or what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. It's also important to note that in Jesus' day, it was only the prerogative of the man to issue a certificate of divorce and not the woman. Women were seen as property. So Jesus' injunction here is also to serve notice to the men who controlled all the power in ending a marriage and in society. He says because of their hardness of heart they do this, that they should take more seriously God's original intent. Now scholars tell us that divorce in Jesus' day was almost as prevalent as it is in our own You may not know that. Divorce is a byproduct of our brokenness and the brokenness of our world. God allows for divorce in God's law, in Deuteronomy, but God's intent is wholeness and human flourishing in every relationship. Even though that is not where the human family finds itself in age after age after age, we are to work and pray towards that end of a peaceable community where we find fidelity and forgiveness in the midst of our faults and offenses. When two people are married in the church and take their vows before God and the community of faith, we also take a vow to uphold these two people in their covenant of marriage, to pray for them and support them in whatever way we can. And just like in our own personal lives, when we fail to live up to God's intention, there is opportunity for repentance and restoration. So, where does that leave our brothers and sisters who have been divorced and those of us who are remarried? Jesus said in another gospel story to the men who brought to Jesus the woman caught in adultery, "Those without sin cast the first stone." And after the men had left, Jesus asked the woman, "Who condemns you now?" She responds to Jesus, "No one." To which Jesus says, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." That is the good news for all of us. As we continually turn our hearts toward God and God's intention for us, God empowers us to live new lives in Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.